from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I was listening to something over the weekend.
It was it was Bill Simmons and get it over with.
It wasn't. It wasn't. It was our other friends over at the Hoop Collective.
Oh, my.
Windhorse, Tim McMahon, and Bon Timms. And they were playing this little game of buy or sell. Like, mm-hmm. tried to get me to play earlier, mm-hmm. but I didn't get the cue.
No, it's fine. We got it. We're 4 years in. It takes time.
But they had a buy or sell, and to be fair, I haven't finished the podcast. I just heard the first half of it. Then in the first half of it, Bon Timms doesn't like anybody. Just sell
Shocker.
Everybody. Like, nobody's good enough. But they all sold the Nuggets. And it was like, sell the future. Not, they didn't put parameters on it, but probably the next 2 years or something like that, right? They all sold the Nuggets. Two of the three, McMahon and Bon Timms, sold the Bucks. Windhorse has said, not so fast. We'll start with those two. Buy or sell the Nuggets for next 2 seasons.
Can I be James Hamm here for a second?
Oh,
but buy or sell, like, just, for what?
Do you think these are teams that were around championship contention? Do you think they are you selling or buying that they're still around that?
I'm selling the Nuggets.
I am too.
Yeah, I'm selling the Nuggets.
I am too. They've just lost too much.
It feels like it. Yeah. It feels like it.
Now, the Bucks. Buy or sell the Bucks.
I'm going to buy the Bucks out of respect for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Dan Lillard.
I didn't think he was going to buy.
And the great Doc Rivers.
I think Windhorse was still buying, but the other two were selling. They're giving all the reasons. Reasons make sense. It's not crazy.
I mean, and you know what the dumb part about what I just did is? I don't know what the difference between the Bucks and Nuggets are. Like, I don't know the Bucks got better.
I'm on the Bucks for the fact I believe in Dame and Giannis more than maybe just Jamal Murray. I'm leaving Jokic, but...
Yeah, you're leaving Jokic to do it by himself.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm buying. And then we got...
Who?
The Bucks.
Okay.
And then we got into, like, this weird side conversation. So they were talking about the Bucks, and this leads into something that I saw today that I think happens a lot. So it'll all connect. But it was this side conversation where Bon Timms goes, they were like, yeah, it's not even a question. Like, we're all kind of buying the Sixers, right? Like, and they're like, yeah, we buy the Sixers. And then Bon Timms goes, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's even close. When you talk about top-end talent, Philadelphia has way, way, way better top-end talent than Milwaukee. It's not even a discussion. And I said, hold on now. Wait just a damn minute. I think this happens a little too often with Milwaukee, too. First and foremost, we just forget Giannis Antetokounmpo's there.
Facts.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is turning into maybe the most disrespected, disregarded superstar
mm-hmm.
in this league right now. So you got Giannis there. And then...
Who out of the two teams is the best player?
It's close.
But is the best player?
It's close. I would say yes.
Okay.
I would say yes.
Joe's second, very close second.
But then, you know, it was like, he was like, yeah, Paul George, he definitely way better than Dame Lillard and da-da-da-da. And then that coincides with a video I saw from Dame Lillard today where he's like, man, I stay getting disrespected. And you know what? I agree with him. We talking about Dame Lillard. This is one of the great point guards we've ever seen in our lives. I think the numbers last year were 24-7 for Dame. And we acting like he didn't fell off the face of the earth. We talking about, Paul George better than him. Tyrese Maxey better. What?
Clear, it ain't we.
So it made me think, like, lo, I know the Bucks got issues and you've got Chris Middleton. That's a funny situation or whatever. But they do have Giannis and Dame Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they up there. They up there as a contender. Absolutely.
How much of a contender? Yeah. But they're only two people. The Knicks have a squad. The Celtics have a squad. The Sixers have a squad. The Pacers have a team. The Bucks are two guys.
Yeah, but they're not. Like, they have guys that fit the team, don't they?
No, like, I'm not. Like, Bobby Portis is cool. Chris Middleton gets a surgery, like, all the time now. It feels like Pat Connaughton is whatever. Like,
but now, but
they're
they
just
got,
guys.
They got, let me pull up the roster, because they got a couple of, they got a couple of acquisitions that I like. They got, what's his name? The former King in Toronto. What's my man's name? 3 points. Gary Trent. I like Gary Trent.
Former King.
They got Taurean Prince now. I like that pickup for him. They got Bobby Portis, obviously.
Wait a minute. When I said I liked the Lakers pickup of Taurean Prince, you looked at me sideways.
I like it for what it is.
Okay.
You like
it for your argument.
Well, no, I like it for what it is. Like, they was looking at, like, Taurean Prince, like,
well, that's their fault.
This is one of them. One, like, no, let's relax.
No, it's your
good
squad.
Good ball player.
Okay. Lake Show.
I hope that's not number one. It's
a fight. It's a Hell in a Cell match right now between those two moments.
But I think Dame said it. I agree with Dame, man. He just be disrespected. He'd just be disrespected. Dame Lillard, he's top 5 point guard of all time.
No chance.
So
maybe
here's the
he's top 10 though.
Here's the tough part. Like, is he a top 5 point guard of all time? Like, I don't know. Probably not. But is he the second best shooting point guard of all time? Maybe the second best shooter of all time. He probably is.
We had conversations when we started this show, because this is when he was going crazy in the bubble. And I said it, I still feel this way. He doesn't have the accolades. And Steph is just better. Like, there's no metric where you can say he's better than Steph Curry or whatever. I don't think he's that far. Like, talent, I watch him play basketball. He can do everything that Steph can do and maybe a couple things a little bit more. Now, Steph is just a better shooter because he's a better shooter than anybody we ever seen. But Dame can dribble just as good. He can shoot from all three levels. He can shoot from that distance.
Mm-hmm.
He can get to the cup. He's up there. He's up there.
Mm-mm. So he's talented. Okay. He never won like Steph. I don't think he ever impacted winning like Steph did. Like, yeah. Steph,
but
carried the 2022 finals on his back and stuff.
There's Magic.
There's
John Stockton.
Isaiah.
Whether we like it or not.
I think he's better than John Stockton. Dame a little better than John Stockton. There's Magic, Isaiah, Chris Paul, Steph.
You going to force Isaiah into every goddamn conversation.
Isaiah. No, man, don't do that. Isaiah not a top 5 point guard of all time.
Well, we can't have 10 top 5 point guards of all time.
I just named 4. That's it. And now we're getting.
So name them again.
I think Stockton. Dame is better than Stockton.
Name them again.
You got Magic.
Yep.
Steph.
Yep.
Chris Paul.
Yep.
Isaiah Thomas. Some would say Stockton. I think Dame is better than Stockton.
Okay.
And I don't know.
I'll take John Stockton over Damian Lillard.
Mm. Wow, that's not crazy. Wow.
John Stockton went to the finals. Wow. Like Damian Lillard got to a Western Conference Finals and was grand opening, grand closing.
Yeah, but
that stuff matters. That's a team that stuff matters. That stuff matters, though. Yeah. We're talking all time. That stuff matters.
They ain't better than John Stockton, and John Stockton was bad. He was a bad boy.
Stockton's like the all-time assist leader too, no?
Like, yeah, and like it's not gonna.
Some of them assist.
It's not close. Oh, don't do that.
No, we seen. I've seen the video.
Take 500 off. How close is Dame to him then?
I've seen a video of Stockton passes to Malone. Malone holds the ball for 2 seconds. 1-2, back down. 1-2, shot. Assist for Stockton. Come on, man.
John Stockton's the only person that's ever happened to?
No, not at all. But I'm just saying, we'd say all-time assist leader.
But okay, so what's inaccurate about that statement, though?
Nothing.
He is the all-time assist accurate, leader.
He's accurate, but I'm just saying. Dame got a trillion more three-pointers than John Stockton. Way better score. Dame averaged...
Is Dame the second greatest shooter of all time?
I don't even know if he's better than Clay.
It's him and Clay, but he can go off the bounce when Clay can't go off the bounce. As good as Dame.
If we're talking all time, the accolades and the wins and all that stuff has to matter too.
Dame, let me just pull this up real quick because I want to make sure I'm accurate. Yeah, 2 years ago, Dame averaged 32 points a night. Dame averaged 32 points a night. You know how many people in a season are averaging 30 points a game? And he's doing it at the point guard position?
Soren in the chat, is Westbrook better than Dame?
Hey, Dame beat his ass when they played. I know that.
I know Westbrook better than Isaiah. I know that.
Don't be disrespecting Isaiah
I'm not
Thomas,
disrespecting
man.
Isaiah. We're talking Don't about the greatest point guards Isaiah of all Thomas. Time. Westbrook's better than Isaiah Thomas.
Steve Nash, like, talk about it. He's got
Steve Nash won a couple MVPs.
I mean,
Steve
like,
Nash
that's the matter. I'm
Steve
just throwing it in there. Maybe
Steve Nash ain't
better
than anybody that we just mentioned in the last 5 minutes.
He sure as hell isn't.
I'm just throwing names out there. Like, Dame is cool. He's not top five, though. Definitively, too. He's not top five.
Fude brings up a good point. Dame better than Harden.
Well, I was thinking about Harden, too.
Harden, a point guard. I mean,
Harden goes with Kobe and those guys, I feel. Like, he's behind Dwayne Webb. He's a shooting guard overall. Like, maybe later in his career, he became a point guard. But he's overall, he's a shooting guard.
You for whatever reason, had a string of Keegan Murray highlights, and one of them, I guess, was when the Pelicans were beating his ass or beating the Kings' ass. I don't know what I was searching for yesterday, but I got stuck in like a 30-minute video of Kobe.
Mm.
Man.
You see what the people was talking about, though, when it was like, there was a time when like Kobe, there couldn't have been a better basket. He could do everything. Kobe could do everything. He could dribble. He could shoot from all distance and like dead eye shooter.
Defend one on one.
Defend, get to the bucket, had athleticism. I'm not saying he's the best to ever play, but he could do everything. Everything. But he could do everything, and I don't know if.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We talk about Kobe and LeBron, or excuse me, Michael and LeBron. I don't know if there was a time when you could say they could do everything the way Kobe did.
Well, there was a time where, now granted, this was 12 years ago or whatever it was, where I was like, Kobe's better than LeBron. Mm. Like when we were getting the puppets and gearing up for the finals, yeah. LeBron was Kobe was a better basketball player than LeBron at that time. Mm. And you can't tell me otherwise. Mm-hmm. And then Kobe went and won a couple of championships, and then LeBron never missed the finals again. Right. Like, that was the crazy part. They missed their the Nike matchup, right. And then LeBron didn't miss a finals for like 10 years. Yeah. Casey's got to get out of here.
Nah, man. This conversation was stupid. I'm gone.
Okay, I'm Kenny gone. Quits. I'm gonna turn your mic off then if you leave him. No, I'll be back.
I'm out of here.
All I said was Russell Westbrook was better than Isaiah Thomas. We'll come back. I'll explain where Kenny's going next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Phone lines are open for you, 916-909-1320. James Hamm going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Casey's headed out, too. If you recall, we did a back-to-school drive for over on 102.5 KSFM. Casey's going to help make sure all that stuff gets delivered to the teachers who are going to distribute it to the students. It was scheduled at a tough time, but the way today's kind of working out, Casey's going to head out to do that, and we'll hang out for the next 45 minutes or so until James joins us with just us. That's a fun conversation. It's always difficult talking about, like, the best of all time, who is the greatest at their positions. You know, you run across different eras, and the thing with Dame is always a little bit difficult because I really do think Dame is the second best shooter we've ever seen. He's certainly the second greatest shooter we've seen at that position, probably the second greatest all time, but he's playing in Steph Curry's era. And so I think anytime you in guys like, you know, guys like Josh Allen, you know, guys in they're really good quarterbacks. You know, maybe Joe Burrow in a few years, Justin Herbert, those guys that people really like. Those quarterbacks, they're playing in the Patrick Mahomes era, and everything right now in football kind of centers around Patrick Mahomes. Well, when you talk about guards and you talk about shooters, it's Steph Curry, man. It's the Steph Curry era. And I almost feel like we've gotten to the point, because Steph and Dame are so good at what they do. You think about, and even to a certain degree, James Harden. You think about like a traditional point guard. You think about the Magic Johnson type point guard, or even, you know, even though Isaiah was a really good scorer, the Isaiah John Stockton type point guard who's distributing, finding guys, doing all these other different things. The Chris Paul point guard. You almost brush that part off, because they're so good at shooting that you forget, the point guard position has traditionally been the guy who facilitates. It's been the Chris Paul. It's been that. But Dame been such a great scorer. James Harden's been such a great scorer. I mean, James, you know, at various different seasons, leading the league in scoring, leading the league in rebounding, leading the league in assists. We know he falls short in, you know, the postseason, and that will probably influence a lot of these discussions. But he had a run of 4 or 5 years where he did some incredible things on the basketball floor. 916-909-1320. Chi-Town, Chicago on the line. Chicago, what's happening, baby?
What up, though? Happy Monday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep, yep. So real quick, before I forget, I want to put Reggie Miller in that conversation because I grew up watching him, man. And I think outside of Michael Jordan dominating everybody, Reggie Miller and that Indiana Pacers team, man, they would have been dynamic, man. So Reggie Miller, to me, is the most lethal outside of Steph Curry now. But back then, Reggie Miller and what else? It's always good to hear you say Chicago and playoffs. So I hope, you know, the Bears can follow up with that, too. And let me see. I had a good time Friday hanging out with y'all. Casey, yes, it was nice to finally meet you, sir. And yeah, I had a good time, man. That was a real good vibe. I'm glad I came down there to hang out with y'all, man. And with that, I'm out.
Right on, Chi-Town. We appreciate you. It was definitely good to see you on Friday. Good to see Ben and Zay and Jasmine and everyone, you know, from the ESPN 1320 side that came out to hang out as we try to do these 102.5 events. It was a really good time Friday night. I was worried it was going to be too hot. It wasn't. Vibes were really good. Everybody had such an amazing time. The music was incredible. Complex is one of the best at what he does. So I hope we get to do more of these 102.5 events. Chicago brought up Reggie Miller, you know, talking about what a lethal shooter he is. If you're going to bring Reggie Miller into the conversation, you got to bring Ray Allen into the conversation. But when you talk about just obviously, you know, Steph is Steph. Reggie, yeah, I'm good with Reggie being it. Now, that's not the point guard conversation that we were having, which is where this all originated from. But it is in the shooting conversation. It just so happens the other two guys we were talking about were point guards, and that's where Casey's argument or conversation started, is Dame Lillard. And where does he rank amongst all of this? The buy or sell the Bucks thing, though, is fascinating to me. The whole buy or sell teams that Kenny threw out, because there's one he didn't throw out. He put it in our notes, but I don't think he said it. Or at least we didn't discuss it. He mentioned the Denver Nuggets, which I think we're all selling. All three of us we're out on Denver, especially when you look at the course of the next like 2 or 3 years. Milwaukee was kind of like one last ditch effort. Like they've got to find a way to come together under Doc Rivers. They've got to find a way to make this thing with Dame and Giannis work. And they have another run. It feels like New York might have passed them by. Philly, I'm not sure about. Obviously, Boston. And I still think Indiana is emerging as a really good team in the Eastern Conference. I don't know where they fit in all that, but when you talk about like how do you rank players, best players, like Giannis and Dame are going to be at the top of that list. When you talk about duos, Giannis and Dame are going to be at the top of that list. But as Jesse pointed out, once you break down the rest of the roster, where does it go? Where are we landing? When we get to the rest of the roster. And that's one of the unique things I think about Philadelphia. We talk about the, you know, the Joes and Maxey and Paul George. They did re-sign a lot of their players. And while, you know, some of their upper echelon talent feels like it might be kind of a big chemistry experiment, how do we make all of this work? Some of their role players, they've played together before. They played together last season. And, you know, with them, it's going to boil down to health. And you almost have to see Philadelphia fail to know that it won't work. Like, fail healthy. You need Joel to be healthy. You need Maxie to be healthy. You need Paul George to be healthy. And if they fail, you know it didn't work. But if it if they're not healthy, it'll either be failure by it'll be failure by injury and the we told you so and all of that different stuff, or it'll just be an unanswered question.
How much longer is Joel Embiid's window open for? How much longer do you think he could be the guy? Because we're at a point where it's like
he was
can't
like,
be. I don't say it's not everyone else's fault, but it's like he's getting older. He's playing less games and all that.
Like 30 plus and 12. I feel like he has another one of those seasons in him. I feel like he's got. Man, he's only 30.
He's not only 30 the same way a guard is only 30, though. Like, he's only 30 the way it's like, all right, these legs are about 55.
I know. Is it crazy to say 3 more years? Like, he can be elite like he is right now for 3 more years?
I think 3 is kind of...
Is that pushing it?
Pushing it, I think. I don't know. Yeah.
So if I set the over-under at 2.5, you take the under.
Yeah, because I think I'd probably go 2. He's a really good player. I just don't know how he's going to hold up.
Nah, I know.
And it's not even just injury either, I don't think. It's just a matter of, like, they just don't go far in the playoffs either.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with injury. I think even when he's playing in the playoffs, most of the time he's injured in some way, shape, or form. That's why, and I understand this, and I'm not going to be critical of him, but that's why from a Philadelphia 76ers perspective, playing in the Olympics was tough for him. Like, of all of the guys on that team, the one who probably just maybe shouldn't have been there was Joel. Like, Joel was hurt so much last year. He was so banged up going into the postseason. And while they got eliminated early, he had a little more time to recoup, but he couldn't stop playing basketball because he's getting ready to play at this incredibly high level in the Olympics. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough one for Joel. And you're right, like, his 30 isn't the same as a guard's 30 or a small forward or whatever. Like, his 30, he's been beat up. I wouldn't. So we'll stick with the buy or sell thing that Casey started. Would you buy or sell the Philadelphia 76ers?
I'm buying them in the sense where, like, I believe in the concept. Like, I believe in the roster you've built. I don't necessarily believe that maybe they'll get to the.
I told you okay. So if we treated it like a stock, and you buy them, but you have to buy them for a minimum of 2 years, would you do it?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
You're
I don't
asking,
even think I buy him this
you're asking
year.
Us to believe in guys who just haven't gotten it done. Paul George, and I mean, Paul George is just kind of Joel Embiid. I'm not even going to put that on Maxie yet. But, like, Paul George is apparently a guy who's just fallen short, too. He's just never been that guy. He's always been kind of knocking on the ceiling of, maybe I can be a number one, but just, no, Paul George is a 2, he's a 3, or whatever. Like, and Joel Embiid, just two guys haven't been able to get over the hump.
And that's a great question to, like, ask going into this situation with Tyrese Maxey, where Maxey, you know, last year in the postseason, you and Casey, y'all was ready to get rid of Joel. And being slightly facetious, but the conversation was had.
I was
about
trying to help Joel, if anything, I was.
Maybe
Casey's given up on him.
If Tyrese, I still think Joe's the man there. So Joel won. Tyrese is, I think he's the second guy there. Has this been communicated to Paul George? Like, can Paul George, like, because there's, can he, you just mentioned he's always kind of knocking on the door of being a number one, but he really is a number two guy. He was a number two guy with Kawhi Leonard there. He had some moments where he shined as the guy, but for the most part, like, that was Kawhi's squad. It was led by Kawhi. It kind of went the way Kawhi went, and Paul George was the co-star of that team.
He could say it's the big three, but he needs to acknowledge immediately after, I'm the Chris Bosh of all this. Because that's how it's going to work. Like, Maxey's the clear number two for me. Joel, Like, he's still 30 points per game. Like, Joel is still the guy. Like, he's still the leader of the 76ers. He's still the primary guy. So Joel gets his max after that. Paul George literally needs to come and clean up in the playoffs. And not in a way where it's like, kind of, here, just get the rest of these shots, but more so do what Tobias Harris and kind of the other guys couldn't.
Mm.
That's Paul George's role. And if he does that, I think it could work, but I don't know.
Taking that Chris Bosh role is tough. Like,
I don't know if he thinks he's that. I doubt he thinks he's that.
He knows he's not one. Like, you got an MVP there. You got a guy that averaged 36 points, 34 points per game last year on that squad. That's Joel's
not
team.
Not one, but maybe he's two. Maybe it's me and Joel.
What do you think that team is? Do you think it's Joel and Paul George?
No, it's Joel and Tyrese Maxey. And then Paul George, if you want to be part of this crew, like, you can be the third guy. And I'm not trying to diminish Paul George, but, like, those are the two guys for me, like easily. That's who I'm going through, like, shots or whatever. Like, I'm going through Maxey and Embiid before we get to Paul George.
So, since we're on the NBA, we'll stay there for a second. James Hamm joins us at the top of the hour. So, I guess there was something to this LeBron James.
That was real.
Rumor.
That was real.
So,
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That was real. LeBron was going to the Warriors, bro.
Okay, so Mark Stein wrote about, that there was, and I think the Warriors acknowledged it. Someone acknowledged it. Maybe Anthony or Sam or someone wrote about it. But we knew that, like, Lacob had talked to Jeannie Buss.
Draymond acknowledged it. Draymond gave the green light.
And apparently, and even Mark Stein writes how Draymond was like a driving force behind this whole thing. And it's like, all right, like, that's cute. So there was validity to the conversations. Rich Paul, according to Mark Stein, it was Rich Paul who shut the trade talks down. And let's also be clear. The Lakers did not want to trade LeBron James. The Lakers had a conversation with the Golden State Warriors. If LeBron James asked to be traded, they would entertain it. They didn't want to do it, but they engaged in the conversation specifically with Joe Lacob. Mark Stein said it was Rich Paul who kind of shut those trade talks down because he thought there would be backlash on LeBron James for changing teams again, specifically going to the Golden State Warriors. And this obviously sparked like a fun conversation over the weekend. You see Jesse talking about, oh, this was real.
As far as I'm concerned, that reads is if LeBron said I wanted to go to the Warriors, the Lakers were down to work.
So I read it. Boy, this is like semantics right here.
Hey, LeBron, if you want to go to the Lakers, we don't want to trade you. But if you want to go to the Lakers, like, we'll talk.
You want to go to the Warriors.
Or the Warriors, excuse me. If you want to go to the Warriors, we'll talk. I'll talk to Joe Lacob.
But I don't think that's what it was. I think it was, we don't want to trade him. We're not going to be the team that trades LeBron James. Now, if he tells us he wants to leave, the most important component to all of this is, if he tells you he wants to leave 4 months before he's contractually allowed to just leave, yeah, you have to entertain it.
So I'm saying, so it was real.
I don't think
it was.
You
just did it. So no, it was real then.
I don't think it was real.
Well, the fact that Rich Paul had to go out and say, like, nah, like, enough of this or whatever, like, there was obviously something to it.
I mean, it could have been.
LeBron probably wasn't like, oh, yeah, we were at the goal line or whatever, we were going to trade him
it could have been Draymond calling Rich Paul, hey Rich, guess what, I got Joe Lacob on the phone with Jeannie Buss about getting LeBron James to San Francisco. And Rich like, bro, what, hang on, hangs up on Draymond Green, as everybody should do, calls Jeannie Buss and say LeBron James doesn't want to be traded, and that's the end of that.
I don't know, you're not having enough fun with this. The fact, because Mark Stein says too, like, Jeannie Buss and Joe Lacob talked at some point, like, whether or not that was all serious or whatever. Like, they talked about it. They entertained it.
Well, Rob Pelinka and Mike Dunleavy don't have the ability to orchestrate a trade for LeBron James.
They don't, but like I said, the fact that the owners discussed.
Well, that's why they were talking. And I'm sure it was a, hey, what would it look like if LeBron James asked out?
That's real enough for me. Like, it's LeBron James. You can't directly say, hey, we're trying to trade LeBron. Or we want to trade for LeBron. You got to be kind of funny around this stuff. You know, I don't think it was a matter of, like, a reporter was going crazy. Oh, LeBron might get traded or whatever. I think, like, there was actually some substance to it, whether it was a lot or a little bit. Like, there was something there.
It was entertained. Curtis asks, D'Lo, who gets the final say between Rich Paul and LeBron James? Would LeBron give way to Rich or the other way around? My guess is LeBron gets the final say. And Rich can advise him of, hey, you're going to get a lot of backlash for going to play with Steph, or you're going to get a lot of backlash for going to your fourth team, or you're going to get a lot of backlash for ABCDF, whatever it may be. And you lay out the pros and the cons of going to the Golden State Warriors and whatever it may be. And in the end, if LeBron James goes, yeah, I'm good with all of that, then, you know, Rich Paul's got to go along with it. Like, that's the job of an agent. You work in the best interest of your client. But in the end, if your client want something that you have the ability to make happen, you make happen. Like, that's why these conversations, particularly when you look at what's going on with, I mean, obviously Brandon Ayuk, but CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, all of these, you know, the agents are involved and they're advising. And I told you guys last week, I told KC last week, I think there's eventually a game of chicken going on, and it's not just Brandon Ayuk, like it's not just Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers, but it's also Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb. And more so with Ja'Marr and CeeDee, because those guys are legitimately, like, they could legitimately wind up being the highest paid receiver in the league. Like, if someone's going to top Justin Jefferson's contract, it could be one of those two. And guys want that. And while I don't think Brandon Ayuk is in that same conversation, if they both topped Justin Jefferson, who's at 35, and for argument's sake, Ja'Marr gets 36 and a half and CD gets 37 and a half. Okay. Now all of a sudden, Brandon Ayuk's money to get in the top five looks a little bit different than it does if he signs right now. And there comes a point for all three of these guys where you've got to put that stuff aside and you've got to go play football. Like, you've got, you know, like it or not, the Cowboys are, for the most part, they're a winning team. Like, I'm trying to not to use the term championship contender, but they are a winning football team. They're a team that's not going to suck. They're not going to be bad. The Bengals, people think the Bengals are a contender in the AFC. And then, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. They're a contender in the NFC. These aren't Houston Texans receivers who, like, the team's on the come up and you know you want to be compensated on the way up. No, these are teams that, like, their goal is to compete for a Super Bowl championship this year, and nothing else will do for any of those three teams. But the money does play a factor. And I do think the agents are kind of a part of this in the sense of, well, I'm hearing Ja'Marr is close, or I'm hearing CD is close. Hell, we all heard CD is close. It was written about. It's crazy to me that CeeDee Lamb and his representatives and the Dallas Cowboys are, according to reports, $2 million apart at a 35 and a 33. Now, the importance of the 35 million is it puts CeeDee Lamb up there with Justin Jefferson as the highest paid receiver in the game. 33 million doesn't do that. But how can you get two more million? And of course, Dallas, they know they got the Micah Parsons situation. They cannot, under any circumstance, not re-sign Micah Parsons. I think it's crazy that they're willing to lose Dak Prescott, though I kind of understand that a little bit more. Because if your only goal is to win a championship, and you feel like we've already signed Dak Prescott to a massive deal and haven't been able to win a championship, haven't been able to win a Super Bowl, and maybe we got to go in a different direction. The problem is going in a different direction at the quarterback position in the NFL doesn't usually work. Normally, when you have a quarterback who's just good, you rarely let them go. Like, did you guys go from Tannehill to Tua?
No, it went Tannehill to Fitzpatrick to Tua.
Did you hear what you just said? So you went. So this. Think about that, Cowboys fans. That's what the Dolphins did. They went from Tannehill, who they felt like wasn't good enough to get them where they wanted to go, to a stopgap before getting their guy. I forgot. I completely forgot about Fitzmagic there.
Shout out to Fitzpatrick. You see,
he'll win games for you.
He's that's what Gardner Minshew is.
I don't think he's as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
I think he can get to that, but he'll be around for a while. Did you see Albert Breer's report that the Steelers offered to Ayuk kind of drove him back to the 49ers?
No.
Yeah, I saw that today. I was reading NBC Sports Barrier or whatever. I was reading their article, and they attributed to him or whatever. He said that the Steelers offer was kind of closer to what the Niners were offering, so that's why he came back to the table with the Niners. The Patriots are the only one who are kind of only ones who are offering what he wants, I think.
What's that tell you then? Like, if someone's willing to pay,
it means you're worth about $26 to $28 million right. Dollars, Brandon. Take this deal.
Exactly. Unless you want to go play for a losing football team. Speaking of the Cowboys, Trey Lance played all right. He got off to a bit of a rocky start. I thought he finished that game pretty strong. But I actually saw Mac Jones highlights.
Yeah, he had a touchdown.
He played all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mac Jones. I
think someone said that's what happens when your defensive coordinator isn't your offensive coordinator. Well, I think Matt Patricia was the offensive coordinator at one point.
Yeah. Matt Patricia. Goodness.
Bill Belichick was doing some wild stuff towards the end of his tenure.
That's facts. And now everyone's going to be watching for the first coaching firing because Bill's still out there. I mean, he's out there. He's a media guy just like everybody else.
It won't be Mike McCarthy because they don't have to pay him at the end of the season just because he's on the last year of his deal. How do we feel about Nick Sirianni?
I think Sirianni and the dude who I always mess up, Sean McDermott, are the two guys to watch. Because I think for Bill, I think like if you're going to make that move, it's a contender. Like it's a team that feels like we're not winning. We're falling short of a championship because of our coach, and we need to maximize our roster. We need to maximize all that. I think it'll be it won't be like a low level football team. It'll be a team that we think is a Super Bowl contender. We'll come back. James Hamm joins us. We'll talk. We'll get some of his thoughts on these buy or sell teams that we're talking about. Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, and of course, we'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings. I had a question thinking about watching Angel Reese this weekend and her racking up double-doubles that made me think about Domas, and I'll ask you a question about Sabonis when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Let's get our man Ramsey in here, 916-909-1320. Hall of Famer. Ramsey, what's up, man?
When the topic that I wanted to talk about, you started talking about it for those that aren't on YouTube during the break, which is the whole D'Erica Hamby, Las Vegas Aces / Becky Hammon situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm familiar. I mean, I'm definitely familiar with it. I know you are in terms of what has happened with the accusations. I saw what Becky Hammon had to say yesterday after they played the Sparks and everything. I'm kind of torn. I don't know which way to lie with the whole situation, because Becky Hammon did get suspended for it last year, but as she said before, D'Erica Hamby never filed an HR complaint. So, what stance do we take with the entire situation and potential discrimination that Hamby has alleged and went to court about and brought this lawsuit about, not just the Aces, the WNBA itself?
Yeah, it's a really ugly thing that's kind of hanging over the league right now. It's obviously gets attention, especially when the Aces and the Sparks played yesterday. But I'm kind of with you, Ramsey, in that I don't necessarily know how to feel about it, given the fact that I'm not going to tell D'Erica Hamby like how she should feel about something. And I do think that type of stuff, meaning discrimination over like pregnancy, is a little more, I think it's a little more real than that league has ever wanted to acknowledge. I remember, I mean, Demaya Walker got pregnant right after Sacramento won the championship. They, I mean, they supported her 100%. Like, she worked her ass off to get back. I think she played the following postseason, if I remember correctly. Each organization is different, man. Each organization is different. Now, I obviously wasn't there and don't want to tell anyone how to feel, but it is a, it is an ugly thing that's attached to the league right now, that hopefully finds a resolution for anybody. Like, Becky has been adamant from jump that they didn't do anything wrong. She didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, what that means for the Aces moving forward and Becky Hammon moving forward, and how the league handles this stuff moving forward. We'll just have to see. We mentioned right before the commercial break, Trey Lance and Mac Jones had a couple of good outings. We talked about the 49ers, obviously, start the show. I don't know how to continuously break down a preseason game. I didn't even know how to break down a preseason game that I watched all of. And I think that was my biggest takeaway from the preseason game, is I'm embarrassed by the fact that I watched four quarters. Not only did I watch four quarters, like, I was actively watching the four quarters. There wasn't, it's not like there was a lot on TV. There wasn't a lot going on, but I was just sitting there watching it, locked in.
No problem with that. I had Seahawks, I think it was Seahawks Rams on at one point. I'm a big preseason guy, I think.
I'll passively watch any preseason game on. I rarely do I watch all four quarters, but I kept finding different reasons to watch. I wanted to watch, obviously, Brock Purdy. I didn't care that no other offensive starters were out there with him. I wanted to watch him. That wasn't fun. And then I got caught up in watching Josh Dobbs. I was like, oh, hey, bro's cooking out here a little bit. All right, I like this. And then it was like, well, I'm here. Let's see what Brandon Allen's doing. And all those guys are out there playing with, you know, maybe a handful of guys that you'll, you know, actively be watching over the course of the next few months, but none at the prime positions, none at the top of the depth chart. And then after that game ended, I just found myself watching highlights. I went back and watched the Caleb Williams stuff from the day before. People seem to be really in on Chicago, and I don't know if that's the hype for Caleb Williams, or if Chicago's really good and Justin Fields is that bad. I mean, I guess we'll find out soon. I'm a Justin Fields fan, so I'd be stunned if all of a sudden the Chicago Bears were this great football team because they have a quarterback that's pretty solid in his first year, or even potentially great in his first year. Caleb Williams is going to have a ton of highlights this year. That's for sure.
I think I came out of the preseason feeling worse about the Raiders. Oh. So their quarterback situation.
Yeah, and the
Antonio Pierce really feels like he seems like he's not too hyped about it.
He's definitely not. And that's probably the dumbest part is Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. We all knew this was happening. Like, we all knew this was the case. We all knew that this was the scenario. We all knew how this was going to play out. One of those two guys was going to be the Raiders' starting quarterback. Neither one of those guys are very good. And I don't know. You talk about coming out of this preseason feeling worse. I don't know what I expected to see to make me feel better about this football team. I do think their defense is good. I think having a guy like Davante Adams is a huge plus. I don't know where this football team is going.
They're
going
to be a team where we'll say it about five different times this season, and especially at the end of the year, like, wow, if only they had a quarterback. Like, they were right there. If only they had a quarterback.
And that's the worst, knowing, like...
The Raiders are going to have a game where they lose 15 to 13 or whatever because the defense played as well as they could, and it's just they couldn't move the ball that night on offense or whatever because the quarterbacks weren't playing well.
Does Devontae just have to pull these two guys aside and say, hey, just don't get me killed out there? After that clip from receivers comes out, does he just have to pull those guys aside and say, hey, just don't get me killed out there?
Yeah, at this point, you just got to survive the next couple of years or however long his contract is.
But see, that's the worst part. You don't think these guys know, guys like Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, some of these higher end players on the team. You don't think that they know? They didn't see Aiden O'Connell play. They didn't see Gardner Minshew play. They haven't seen Gardner Minshew play in the league over the last 6 years. Like, they know what they have, and they know what they're up against. And to me, like I said this earlier, it's the difference between your defense being good enough to win you games and your defense having to win you football games. And right now, I feel like your defense has to win you football games. And that is not a recipe for success.
Yeah. Like,
that's not like, sustainable.
It's not. Maybe you're just going to have to hope Gardner Minshew just has a Fitzpatrick type here.
Well, and he had, I mean, I can't remember. We've looked it up before. 6-6 or whatever that
like
record
with the
was.
The Jaguars, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
His
yeah,
first year with the Jaguars.
We talked about last week.
And he had a high.
Yeah, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, I think was the stat.
That's it. Protect the ball. Maybe that's enough. Extend drives, possessions. Maybe that's enough.
What do you do next year, though, if he wins you 8 games or 9 games?
You find your quarterback.
But how? You couldn't even trade up for someone this year. And the year for the quarterback draft was kind of this year, too. Like, you're kind of just stuck again. Unless Dak Prescott is somehow available.
Well, and that might be possible. That might be possible. Like, what are the Cowboys doing? Are the Cowboys waiting to see if Dak goes 5-1? Like, what are the... And Dak... Dak knows he's getting paid.
By somebody.
Like, he's not concerned at all. He looks around this league. He sees the Las Vegas Raiders. He sees them and knows, oh, yeah.
Dak himself being a free agent will create a market, like, on its own. Like I said, last week, I think teams will cut their quarterbacks or kind of, if they're not completely sure this is the guy, like, they'll go out of their way to make room for Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, whether anyone likes it or not, or agrees with it or not, I should say, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback. He's going to be the highest paid player in the game at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's by the Dallas Cowboys or it's by some other football team next year, he's going to get that. He's that honor. He's going to get that marker. He's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, the highest paid player in the league. It's just going to be by who.
I think Dak can win. I think Dak can get to a Super Bowl, but I don't know if he can do it in Dallas anymore. Mm. I don't know how much I believe in that. Mm. Maybe it's time for a change of scenery, I guess.
Let's bring in, well, you know, it's a time for bringing our man James Hamm. It's time to rid yourself of Mike McCarthy.
That could always help, too.
That's what
well,
it
that's
is.
Well, that's
me.
Another thing, too. I feel like Mike McCarthy goes into these playoff games a little scared, too.
Oh, he's scared to death.
And you kind of have no chance if your leader is not just ready.
He's scared to death.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.